This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Our guest is Jim Brown to start the show. And reminder that signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And when you say Jim Brown in Cleveland, they think of number 32, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. But Jim Brown of Louisiana, he began his life a few years after the other Jim Brown. And he is a huge part of Louisiana political lore, and he's written about his life and times. Jim Brown, My Louisiana Odyssey, ran for office statewide 6 times and won 5 of those. And the one time he was defeated was when he went for the big prize for governor in 1987, and I don't think we'll ever have another all-star cast the way we had 32 years ago with Edwin Edwards and Buddy Romer and Bob Livingston and Billy Tozan and Jim Brown and even the former congressman Speedy Long was in that race. And Fox McKithen and Butch Baum were in and dropped out. So we had 8 notable people in Louisiana political and business worlds, and they collided on the stage in 1987. Jim Brown writes about that, and that's applicable to what's happening right now. There would have been a runoff in 1987, but Edwin Edwards threw in the towel. And now, for the first time since 1987, Jim Brown, we have an incumbent in a runoff. And anytime an incumbent's in a runoff, it's a heavy lift.
It sure is, because you would think that if you've done a good job, you've got a majority vote, that you could go ahead and win. And quite frankly, Jim, I think most reliable polls show that 2 weeks before the first primary, John Bel Edwards was over 50%, and most predictions were he could win in the first primary. But then the cloud of Trump entered Louisiana in the final days, and that made a huge difference. That brought him under the 50% range, no doubt about that.
And we're going to see more of the president, I'm sure, between now and Election Day, and we'll see what happens. But certainly in this state, it appears that Donald Trump has some mojo. He may not be as popular as he was 4 years ago, when he 3 years ago, when he received 58% of the votes, but he apparently galvanizes voters, which may be as critical as being popular, because if you can get your voters out, that's what it's all about. This comes down to a turnout election, doesn't it?
It does, and in the first primary, I think the Democratic vote was not the normal at the higher level you've seen in past gubernatorial elections. So John Bel Edwards' challenge is to get his vote out, and in terms of African-American vote, for example, that normally is higher than we saw. I think we saw about a 36% turnout this time around. And so the governor was not able to energize the black community and key Democratic constituencies like has been done in the past. And that's his huge challenge in this runoff coming up just 2 weeks away.
Well, you were debated, Romer and Edwards and Livingston and Tozan, many times in 1987. And if Romer and Edwards would have been in a runoff that would have gone to the finish line, Edwin Edwards certainly would have welcomed a debate, and Buddy Romer would have too. But now we have this unusual scenario where a man who is a survivor and may very well be the next governor of Louisiana, Eddie Rasponi, he agreed to only one debate. Wednesday night we saw it, and it was with John Bel Edwards. And the early reviews are that there was a lot of heat and not much light. What do you think?
Well, Rasponi is not an articulate debater or an articulate speaker. He's been a very successful businessman. There's no doubt about that. But I was real disappointed in the debate that took place. The format was that each asked others questions. It became a big shouting match, and there was no substance you could really gain from the debate. I think in retrospect, each candidate should have been asked a specific question. But you're right. Rasponi has dodged the debates. I think he doesn't want the challenger to usually it's the incumbent that dodges mm-hmm. the debates, so you don't get that much interest in them. The debates, quite frankly, as you mentioned in 1987, were a learning process. Every time we debated, getting my positions down and then listening to the other candidates, I fine-tuned my message. I think I learned a great deal from the debates themselves, and I think Rasponi is making a mistake, because if you debate a great deal, you say, well, I've got to fine-tune my message, or maybe I need to go more in-depth here, or maybe I'm learning something. The debate process is a good process for president and for governor, and I think that there's been a lack of that in this campaign. even in the first primary, there weren't that many debates. And I think that we're the losers because of that, Jim.
Many who've watched this campaign have noted that with all three of the major candidates, maybe for the first time in Louisiana, a race devoid of any humor. These guys are not people with quips like Edwin Edwards and Jim Brown and Buddy Romer and Billy Tozan. You had a lot of – Bob Livingston was a little dour, but a lot of people in Louisiana politics who have succeeded, they go beyond the message. Quite often they have a little as Gus Weill would say, a little sizzle to go with the steak.
Well, no doubt about that. It ought to be a fun process. You know, government and living in the state, particularly with the Jolie Vie of Louisiana, should not be an effort. And yet, you're right, we haven't seen that a lot. That's kind of true on the national level, though, too, quite frankly. You know, if you can't enjoy what you're doing, and in the legislature, legislators don't seem to enjoy the job anymore. They seem like it's such a drudgerous affair and fighting the infighting, and then everybody goes their separate ways in the evening. Gosh, when I was in the legislature, we'd get together afterwards, whether you're Republican or Democrat, and swap stories. I knew the names of most of the legislators' children. I'll bet you none of them know that today. So it's just not as much fun as it used to be, and you don't see that in this campaign.
Well, the book, Jim Brown, My Louisiana Odyssey, a memoir, is a collection of stories about his life in politics and beyond. He's written a column for many years, so it's an expansion of some of the ideas that Jim Brown has expressed through a life that did not begin in Louisiana. Many people believe you're from Faraday, Louisiana, and you are, but you didn't start there.
No, I really didn't. And as you say, most people say, oh, yeah, Jim's a redneck from North Louisiana, Northeast Louisiana. I really was raised up in Missouri, St. Louis, Kansas City. My dad was with the Kansas City Southern Railroad and got transferred down to Louisiana. I had never stepped foot in Louisiana until I went to Tulane Law School. And then I married a girl from down here and ended up in Faraday. And one little story I tell in the book, Jim, in 1958, I was a senior up in St. Louis, Missouri, going to high school up there. And you have a Friday night sock hop where you dance with your girlfriend. And the number one tune in the country was Jerry Lee Lewis singing A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On. And I love that song. We played it over and over. This is 1958. I checked my dates 10 years almost to the very day. 10 years later to the very day, I'm sitting in my law office in Faraday, had no clients, just opened up my shingle, just moved up there, and didn't even have a secretary. The door opened and someone shouts, "Where's Lawyer Brown? I need myself a lawyer." And I walked out and says, "I'm a lawyer," and I looked right in the eye of Jerry Lee Lewis, my first client in Faraday, Louisiana. So kind of ironic, 10 years go by from dancing to Jerry Lee, I'm there representing him in some legal matters.
You must have been the first of many lawyers for Jerry Lee Lewis.
I did a number of things for him over the years for the family. Never got paid anything, never paid me a fee, but I could always get real good tickets for his concerts.
Well, and the few, if any, have ever played the piano as well as he, and he's still doing it now, 84 years old, and he's still doing it. And Faraday, as you know, has produced, for a town its size, just an amazing number of luminaries, from Jerry Lee and Jimmy Lee Swaggart and Mickey Gilley, who actually I think was from Natchez across the river, but obviously spent a lot of time with his cousin.
First cousin. And did several fundraisers for me, Mickey Gilley did. I was very proud of him. In fact, he volunteered to come, and Jimmy Swaggart had worked for the Swaggart family, so I was all intricately involved from a legal and political view with all three of those fellas.
And Claire Chenault and Howard K. Smith and Campbell Brown.
My daughter Campbell, who just taken over as the publisher and, I guess, editor, if you'd call her, of the whole Facebook newspaper that affects 2 billion people, and she's in charge of that for Facebook right now, Jim, so she's very much in the news these days.
Jim Brown is with us. His book is My Louisiana Odyssey, a memoir, and many may not be aware, but if they've listened to the show, they know that at one time you were quite an athlete.
Well, about 6 belt notches ago in the waist, I guess. I had the great honor I was Dean Smith's first recruit at the University of North Carolina, legendary basketball coach.
And your roommate was Larry Brown, wasn't it?
That's well, Larry Brown was a roommate of mine who went on to be a great NBA basketball coach. And then I started running, ran track better than played basketball. And I was on the U.S. track team, Jim. My claim to fame was I handed off the baton to Bullet Bob Hayes, the fastest man in the world at that time, and enjoyed a great track career. You didn't have all the debate about professional athletes now. You didn't have that back then, but you could run track meets throughout the world and get prizes. And so, and your prizes are pretty much guaranteed. So when I ran, Bob Hayes would run, not be paid, but he'd get a washer, a dryer, a color TV set, and a clock radio, which meant he was getting about $5,000. I was good for maybe a couple of little less prizes along that line, but helped me get through law school.
We're going to spend some more time with Jim Brown. His autobiography is chock full of anecdotes like this, My Louisiana Odyssey, and we're back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana. And for those hearing this show the first time, it is airing at a different time because of the impeachment proceedings that are ongoing as we speak. But Jim Brown is, of course, the guest, and his book is My Louisiana Odyssey, a memoir. And in that book, he writes about the presidents he has known, and one of those faced impeachment, actually was impeached by the U.S. House of Representatives on two articles, and then the Senate could not get a majority on either of those, and Bill Clinton survived. And Jim Brown, among politicos, as David Marinus wrote, he was the natural. Why was he a cut apart others of the same vintage?
Well, he had, number one, he was a great people person. Clinton, when Clinton had this amazing way of when you looked at him, you just kind of felt, as someone wrote this, that Clinton had spent 65 years of his life just waiting to spend a few seconds with you. He'd look you right in the eye. You know, some politicians are kind of looking at you and they're looking around the room to see whose hand to shake next. Clinton looked directly at you in the eye. Maybe he held your hand, patted you on the shoulder. You really felt that personal touch. He was also insatiable, Jim. I ran for secretary. I never knew Bill Clinton at all. And when I was elected insurance commissioner, I was having my victory party, I think at Phil's Oyster Bar is where I had it, here in Baton Rouge. And I'm getting ready to go home, and the phone, Gus Piazza says, Jim, there's somebody in the phone for you. I said, Gus, tell him I'm going home. I've talked to the press. I'm ready to shut it down. He says, well, it's some guy who says he's the governor of Arkansas. So I picked up the phone and said, Jim, Bill Clinton up in Arkansas. Hey there, Governor. He says, I just heard the great news of your election as insurance commissioner. I just wanted to call to thank you. Now, somebody down in Louisiana had given him the 8 or 10 names of people running. And from what I'm told, he just did that night after night after night. Well, I was impressed that the governor of Arkansas called me. I never forgot it. So he had this insatiable way of working you, dealing with you, looking you in the eye, handwritten notes. And it takes a massive amount of effort to do that thing. So he was consumed with his political career, and it sure worked out well for him.
Yeah, and coming from Arkansas, he had to do all those things because, let's face it, he was in a state that is it even more challenged than Louisiana. And usually governors don't come from states that small, from the South, but he did it. And, of course, he won Louisiana twice. No one has done so since 1996, no Democrat. And now we have Donald Trump, who's going to make the rounds, it would seem, in the next few days for Eddie Rasponi. And he is facing impeachment, likely will be impeached by the House, likely the Senate will not convict. But what do you see as the distinctions between what happened to Clinton in 98 and what's happening to Donald Trump right now?
Well, Clinton, it was more this personal, his personal actions involving Monica Lewinsky, there was not national security involved in the debate that took place. Republicans were after Clinton, felt like they might be able to bring him down because he had misled investigators, have accused of lying to a grand jury about his affair with Ms. Lewinsky. Didn't have the national security flow. The Republicans, I think, felt they had him on the ropes. As it turned out, his popularity gained dramatically after he was impeached. And that's the problem the Democrats might face the same way, that where people kind of feel sorry for Trump and maybe bring him more support, quite frankly. So you're walking a thin line with this impeachment category. Remember, Richard Nixon was brought down by his own party. The Republican senators went to him and said, you can't fight this anymore, you're through. And we've not seen any movement along that line for Trump at this stage. You never saw it with Clinton. So any impeachment activity has a long, long way to go. And a number of people, Jim, are going to say, listen, we've got an election 1 year away. So this impeachment thing is going to drag on for months and months, and we're not going to get anything else done in this country. Let's just let the year go by and let the people judge. So there's a lot of balls in the air being played right now with this whole impeachment flow.
Well, the New York Times even wrote a story this week stating that the president could be impeached, could be convicted, could be forced from office, but then could run for election
right.
and win and get it back. David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Jim Brown.
Good morning, gentlemen. I expected the behavior of President Trump to be what it is. He's had a life of cheating and lying, committing fraud. And these charges, I think, are totally supported with the facts. And he's defying Congress by denying legal subpoenas. And that alone is an impeachable offense, contempt of Congress. But the behavior of people like Steve Scalise, defying and breaking rules of his own house, what type of leadership and hypocrisy does that show? And this country is becoming so partisan.
Jim Brown.
Well, we're very polarized. You mentioned Steve Scalise, who right down the line in Trump's camp. David, I've got to tell you, he's elected almost without opposition down in his district in Louisiana. Steve Scalise is a very popular guy. Now, we know he was shot, and a lot of that had to do along those lines. But we're very polarized, and very few Republicans. I can't name one at all who's come out in Congress who said we've got to impeach Donald Trump. So Trump and key Republican operatives have played this very strongly as a partisan affair, Democrats who won't give up from the election, and that's how they play it. And good or bad, that's how a number of Louisianians see it down here. So they'd rather wait to the next election and pass judgment along those lines. Jim, could I tell you, you mentioned one thing about Bill Clinton. Jimmy Carter was a Southern governor who also came from just a small peanut farmer, Southern governor, one-termer, and became president. I was on a plane with Edwin Edwards one night. My dad had given me a book about the Jimmy Carter victory and how he became.
Marathon. I read the book.
Okay,
by
right.
By Jack Germond and Jules Whitcover. Yeah.
So I was reading the book, and I was on the plane with Governor Edwards. Now, this is when he was at the height of his popularity, 1978. I mean, his popularity was through the roof. I know in several of the elections, if two people were running against each other, they both asked Edwards to endorse him, and he would endorse, you know, several people in the same race. He was so popular. I'm on the plane, and he says, what are you reading, Jim? And I said, well, I've got this book about how Jimmy Carter became president. And he's, about a couple of nights later, my phone rang about 11 o'clock at night. And he said, Jim, it's Governor Edwards. Said, yes, Governor. He says, you still got that book we talked about? Yes, sir, I do. He says, I'll have a state trooper pick it up here in the morning. State trooper picks up the book, and I think he was serious. And I said, you going to run for president? He just laughed. Well, a few weeks went by, and the Tungsten Park controversy came up and kind of took the luster off the governor. And I never heard another word from him about it. And in a plain envelope, about a month later, the book came back in the mail to me. So I think there was a twinkling for a moment. Edwin Edwards said, hey, maybe I can become president of this country.
And he sure liked being governor. And Jim Brown writes about the governors, including John McKithen, who was a mentor. Great stories about him in this book. But you've rubbed shoulders not only with Jerry Lee Lewis, but how many guys get to be friends with Jerry Lee Lewis and Pavarotti?
Well, I don't know if I'm a big friend of Pavarotti. I was on an elevator with him when he gave a great concert here in Baton Rouge. The night before, he's at the Windsor Court. It's New Year's Eve. And the elevator stopped for a while. It was a long pause. I was on the elevator for about 5 minutes, just me and Pavarotti. And I'm talking and saying how much I admired him, and he's smiling and so happy. We get off the elevator, and then someone came over to say hello, and it dawned on me, he didn't understand a word I'm talking about. You know? So then I go to the Saint the Italian parade in New York City, a huge parade up Fifth Avenue, and Pavarotti sits right in front of me, and we, and again the big smile, and we talk. I tell him how much I liked him, and I saw him in Baton Rouge. He didn't know a thing I was talking about. The only the additional thing to that story. Someone patted me on the shoulder who was trying to get to her seat. I had a nice little VIP section. I turned around. It was Sophia Loren. Boy, that just mesmerized me, Jim. I was in hog heaven once I actually got to meet Sophia. Pavarotti didn't know me, but at least I met Sophia.
even now, Sophia Loren is an amazing person. And what great stories in the book. And we're going to spend a few more minutes with Jim Brown about his book, My Louisiana Odyssey. And we'll hear from Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, who is one of the panelists at the debate, the one debate between John Bel Edwards and Eddie Lee Rasponi. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. In a few moments, we're going to hear from Mark Ballard. He was on the panel for the only debate between John Bel Edwards and Eddie Lee Rasponi. We'll talk with him about what happened in the Wednesday night showdown hosted by LPB and Cable. Jim Brown wrapping it up with us. His book is My Louisiana Odyssey. Jim will be at the Louisiana Book Festival Saturday, 11:45, House Committee Room, one of them. You can find Jim Brown, and he will be there.
And my book is available at all the local bookstores here, Jim. Cottonwood Books, Danny Plaisance's place, the Cadunner Bookstore up in St. Francisville, out in Denham Springs, the Cavalier Bookstore out there, and Amazon and all your bookstores. So I'm very pleased the response. And it's just not politics, too. I've written a lot of personal things about my interest in art and music. If you don't have a musical feel in Louisiana, you got no business living here. I talk about religion. I talk about revenge.
Okay, well, let's go religion, and then we'll get to revenge. But you are a Protestant. Raised, as you said, in the St. Louis area, but came to Faraday, which, of course, is the area that is one of the most Protestant in Louisiana. But you say you have dabbled in Catholicism and flirted with converting for many years.
I have. I've had the great pleasure of having wonderful relationships with a number of priests in the state of Louisiana. We're a Catholic state in South Louisiana. When I was a redneck, you know, I'd go down and give speeches because I wanted to run statewide in South Louisiana, and they always have a priest who would give the prayer, the invocation. And I'd say, Father, I appreciate that. I said, you know, before I started coming down here to speak, the only two words I even knew were rhythm and bingo. And so I'd kind of get my entree. But then it kind of grew on me. Jim, I did a radio show for years down in New Orleans. I did it from my French Quarter apartment overlooking St. Louis Cathedral. And I did it on Sundays, and my show would end just as the bells were ringing for Catholic Mass. And I'd say, that's my sign, time to go to church. So I started going to Mass and got to know the Archbishop down there, and I've had many lengthy debates about what the church is. But one of my most innovative debates was with Walker Percy, the great Louisiana novelist who converted to Catholicism. And I said, why did you convert? And he says, Jim, because that's all there really is. It all started with Christ, and it was a Catholic beginning. And the branches that went out really aren't I'm comfortable with. And so a number of discussions with Percy have led me to be struggling with it, as many people do. I'm not sure I'll end up. I'll be 80 here in a few months, so I guess I better make up my mind. But I don't know if the good Lord really cares what religion I am, as long as, I'm named after the Apostle James, as is my son and my grandson. And James said, you got to accept the Lord, but you also got to do good works. That's a key with James. And so I've talked about that and tried to contribute back to my community, and I write about these things in my book.
And you've dealt with revenge. You, as we know, have had at least one really tough blow in your life, and I'm sure there's some anger about what happened to you.
There is. I said, oh, Lord, why did you throw me into troubled waters? And the answer I got back is, because your enemies can't swim. And I write about that very thing. I talk about spending time with remains of the youngest Catholic saint, Sister Maria Goretti. And I was alone with her remains for a good bit when she came to Baton Rouge. And I talk about if she's forgiving, should I forgive? And I'm not going to go into great detail. It's all in the book. But I wrote about the fact of when do you hold a grudge? When do you forgive? The pros and cons. And those and all those things are I experienced here in Louisiana, and I make a Louisiana tie to it. So I wanted to write more than just a political book. I wanted to write about my memoir of key events that other people can relate to. And if it's been a real lethargic experience and an enjoyable experience, and maybe I'll do another one here one day.
All right. Well, in the words of Wiley Hilburn, Jim Brown is a big mouth, name dropping, country dropping, restaurant hopping, party going Louisiana politician. He's also one of the most articulate, well-read, intelligent, and effective public officials in the state's history. The book is My Louisiana Odyssey. Again, 11:45 Saturday at the book festival in the House Committee Rooms. You find one of them. Look at the schedule. Jim Brown will be there to talk about My Louisiana Odyssey. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim, for being. Let me be here.